Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Easy Tarot Lessons, the podcast. My name is Dusty White. I'm the author of The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever. And this is a little show that I do to help you guys learn. It helps if you have the book, and I'd certainly appreciate you helping me pay the rent. It's only $22 on Amazon or in your local metaphysical stores. Other than that, feel free to go back through all of the lessons and learn everything you can off of the videos that are available and the tarot podcasts without spending any money at all. The important thing here is that it works for you. I have one of my favorite students on. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Dusty.
Thanks for staying up late for me tonight. Becky's over in the UK, and we're doing this in the afternoon my time. So, today's topic, we're going to talk about the importance of asking questions in a spread and in a reading. But first, I want to give you guys a quick ATS update. The Advanced Tarot Secrets book is in final edits. My editor is getting it on July 1st, and review copies should be going out in the next 60 days. So this has taken 4 years to get this book just right, and I want to thank everybody for their patience, even though I'm apologizing for, I promise it will be worth the wait. And it's done, I'm reading through it now, just checking last minute typos and making sure everything else is cool there. Becky, before we begin real quick, I just wanted to throw it at you and say, did you have any tarot questions before we go into today's topic?
I was thinking about things like the best way to phrase a question, and then whether or not, dependent on the question, whether there's spreads that are better than others.
I appreciate that. That just happens to be what I'm going to be covering today, so that works out synchronistically very well. Let me throw a little preamble first, just to make sure everybody's on the same page. Just be a minute or two. The basics, if you're new to this planet, the tarot works like this. It's a deck of cards. That's pretty much it, but it's generally got pictures on it. You sit and ask a question while shuffling your cards, and then you throw down cards which you interpret as an answer. People make that really complicated. The important things are phrasing your question, knowing when to stop shuffling, and getting the cards to actually talk to you. If any of those pieces is not there, the reading will be just random cards, or you'll completely miss the point and give bad information. If you could do this formulaically, then any computer could read better than us, and we'd be all out of a job. The key elements I didn't mention were that the tarot reading is a process of intuitive deduction. Intuition meets logic. You can't just sit there and go, oh, I'm an intuitive reader, and just pull out cards and say, well, blah, 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 without any framework of reference. Similarly, it's my argument that you can't be too anal, too micromanagerial about this. And we have the Kabbalah and numerology and the color theory and get so fanatical in your detail on how you must do the reading and how you must shuffle it 17 times and then tell your client to cut. That takes all of the randomness out of it, which denies your intuition the ability to know at what point of that randomness the cards are actually in the right order. Because the Earth, we all know, is a living, breathing thing. It's not a dead rock like the Moon. It's got temperature changes, currents, air and sea, lightnings, fires, sunshine, all kinds of chemical reactions. On an esoteric level, the universe is alive all around us as well. So it's easy to say that God or the gods or the fairies or nature, I mean, unless you're a true atheist, which is fine, but anyone else, we can at least agree that there's something out there or something to it, if not necessarily a cosmic intelligence, that there's a formula that things work, and we don't necessarily know the formula, but we know enough from trial and error over 8,000 years of recorded history, that if we do certain things will happen in return. So the way that we get the best results with the tarot is we have to ask specific questions. We know what we're after. And we use the tarot cards as a language that the gods, for lack of a better word, give us to answer that. So I don't want you to believe, like too many people do, that the tarot cards are just magically going to fall in the right place. If that were the case, all you'd have to do is throw them up in the air, not think of any question, and wherever they landed, you could just look around and go intuitively, ooh, that works, that works. But your clients are going to be rather upset because your predictions just won't come true. And if your predictions don't come true, or you can't verify what's already going on, well, you suck. And we're not here to suck. We're actually here to change people's lives for the better. So please listen in. Please get this. One more rant, and I promise we'll get right into this. Life simply does not wash over us, you know, taking us wherever it goes. I need you to understand that life is a series of choices that we make, but they're based on the desires and the response to the actions of other people. So it is rather complex, but it comes down to the fact that we're presented constantly with things we like, things we don't like, good circumstances, bad circumstances, people helping us, people hindering us. But we have to make choices and decisions, and that's why we have things like the tarot. We ask, what's the best choice? What's the best path? What's coming down the road? But if we fail to ask, we're just allowing life to wash over us, and we take no responsibility for ourselves. And that just doesn't work in a society with where we're interdependent. So, that being said, there's my rant. Today's topic, how to approach a reading. Becky, interrupt me at any time. I'm kind of on a rant today.
Okay.
Thank you. But I do want to address that specifically, how to ask questions that get answers. Okay, Becky, give me a situation, and I will do my best to explain it. Some client walks in, or maybe something you might ask if you were doing a reading for yourself.
Okay, guidance on the direction that my career is heading in.
Okay, and I'm glad you phrased it that way, because if you're new to the podcast or you're listening to the podcast and you haven't had a lot of experience in reading, this is exactly what you're going to get. People walking in using that $5 a word language. No offense, Becky, but guidance, my career is going in. That doesn't mean anything to me. So having the brain the size of a very small pea, I would have to turn around and ask Becky for clarification. And I never want anybody to be afraid for a moment to ask for clarification. Okay, so I'm not going to say, what the hell does that mean? I'm going to try to be polite and go, okay, so you have a job and we're trying to figure out whether you should change jobs or do you like your job? Can you help me be a little bit more specific? Basically, I'm asking her to speak my flavor of, English, because that's my language. But I'm trying to be a little bit more polite about it. Yeah. Can you help me understand that a little bit better, Becky?
Okay. I've been in the same job for 15 years, and it's feeling a bit stale, and I don't know whether I should stay or go.
Wow. Now, that's a lot better question. Now, I'm going to ask a question, because I'm the one who's reading the cards. I can't rely on her question. It's not like the gods work by proxy. It's like, well, if Joe asked a question in the 17th century, I can just shuffle the cards. And, you know, the gods know everything. I have to specifically say, hey, you know, I'm asking a question, and it's my fingertips that will probably send me the signal that, oh, the cards are feeling just right. They're just in the right order. I better deal them out now. So that makes me the integral part of the process. I need to ask the question to the cards as if they were a living, breathing entity, which they're not, just a bunch of cards. But the way that we do that puts us in the right mindset. So I'm going to say, Yes. Becky has been in the job for about 15 years, and it's just getting kind of stale. So I'm wrapping my mind around the question or the situation. I'm going to call it her situation. So whatever she asks, I'm going to say is the situation, and then whatever I decide to ask is the question. We'll get to that in just a moment. So I'm still wrapping my mind around it. So questions, something about her career, blah, 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 trajectory, which turned into been here 15 years. All right, so she's definitely been at a job, responsible, reliable, doesn't want to leave, right? But it's getting kind of stale and wants to know different direction. Now, at this point, this is entirely up to you. You can take this information and run with it, or if you're not quite sure where you want to go with that, feel free to ask your client more questions. We are not stage magicians. We're not getting the client's life story and then coming out with, oh, I've got an R. Is somebody named R, Rosie, Ralph? You know, we're not pulling that kind of crap. So I want you to feel comfortable in asking questions, though. If you don't feel that you have enough information, or if you're shuffling the cards and just feels like, something's not right, rephrase what they said. State it back to them. Becky, okay, I'm doing a reading to find out what you should do about your job, whether you should stay at your current place or go. Is that right?
Yes.
See, I verified with her what I'm doing, because if I just go off my own tangent and come back and go, here's a reading, and she's like, well, that isn't really what I wanted to know. Well, I've wasted 10, 15, 20 minutes, sometimes even 40. Because, you know, in a good reading, you can go really in-depth, and it'll take you a while. You shouldn't rush it. Unless you're at a party. Like, ooh, just one card, one, three cards, or full Celtic cross spread in 5 minutes. Okay, you can get married and have babies next. All right, fine. But when you're sitting down, you know, somebody, don't rush it. If it takes 5 minutes, 5 minutes. If it takes 20 minutes, take 20 minutes. If you're doing it professionally, you know, take the time that you need. Don't stretch it out. Just take the amount of time that you need. So the first step is find out what they want to know so that you can answer that question. It sounds easy and it sounds simple and sounds pretty basic until you actually do it a couple of times, especially with people who are either hesitant to tell you information or they have no experience. I've never done this before, you know. So you might have to guide people through. But get the information you need. And don't worry about, you know, oh, I'm asking him too much information. I shouldn't ask him anything at all. No, it just doesn't work like that. I've read for tens of thousands of clients. I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of the best psychics in the world over many, many years. Every day, by the way, in the same office. Been there, seen it, done it. I'm just trying to give you the collective experience of, I guess it would be hundreds of years of experience if we put all the psychics together. Because I made sure to pick their brain. So, back to Becky. I would shuffle my cards, shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. Now, while I'm shuffling them, I'm working the cards into the question. Imagine, like, you're kneading dough. You put the eggs in the flour and I don't know, whatever you put in bread dough or whatever. And so you mix it around, and now you get this ball of goo, and you kind of get your hands in there and kind of mix it around. You're working the air into the bread, or you're mixing the ingredients, whatever it is, and when you knead dough. Not being a professional baker, it's not my specialty, but I do know that that same kind of feeling goes into working the question into the spread. You know, work it and work it and work it. If we're doing a Celtic cross, only the 10 cards at the very top are important. But since the cards we need at the top could be in the middle and the bottom and around, so we have to take time, we have to shuffle, we have to listen to our fingers, listen to our senses, and find out when those cards are exactly in the right spot. And again, we only need the top 10 cards. If we're doing a 3-card spread or a 1-card spread, we can cut that. We could just shuffle, shuffle, reaching for this card. Bam, we can go, we can spread all the cards out and go 1 card at a time. I'm feeling this card, this card. The important thing is to find your particular method that works where your intuition is screaming out at you, this card, this card. Or this is the time when all the cards are shuffled, just flip them over. Flip, 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 flip. This is how the pros do it. This is how we do it every day. This is how we get results, and this is how we get paid fat paychecks, not little skinny paychecks. I'm telling you this because I want you to do it like the pros do it, and I don't want you to get all superstitious and read a lot of books that just confuse you and make you think you can't do this. I've got dozens of students who've told me the same thing over and over. I have read book after book after book until I came to you. I thought I couldn't do it. I'm not saying I'm special. I'm just saying I don't cotton to any crap. There's no superstition. There's no artificial stuff here. We go right in and we do it and make it work. Okay, shoveling. If this, and this brings up to the next point, is we got to match the spread to the question. What spread would answer this particular question? Well, I think the question I was asking, because I told Becky, I said, I'm going to find out if you should stay or go. Should I stay in this job, or should, you know, is there something else on the horizon? Is this what I want to go? And so that's not a Celtic cost spread. It's not a three card blob. We might just throw cards up in the air again and hope the right ones come up. So it's why we want to know a few spreads and then phrase our questions towards the strength of that spread. So here we have a simple this or that scenario. Now we can always go more in depth. I don't have to just do a two card reading or three card reading for Becky and say, yeah, get out of here. I can do that, which is a pre-spread, which I'll get into even later on in this podcast if we have time. Which is a spread before a spread. That's a really advanced trick. It's a technique, and I hate the word trick. It's not hard, but it's really cool once you learn how to do it, because then you get really, really in-depth in results. But to start with, the first thing I want to do is get more information about the situation that she's in. I've asked her as much as I want to ask, so any information I want to get now, I want to get from the cards. So, Becky, what I would do if I were you, you know, roles are reversed, you're the reader. What I'm asking essentially is whether you should stay in this boring career or go find something else. Knowing that if I'm confident with this spread, if I'm looking at it and I get an answer and I feel it, and you'll know that difference, you people listening at home, you'll know the difference. If you're reading a spread and you're just like, well, this and this and this, and just doesn't make any sense to you, but you're going through the numbers like, okay, this is what the cards, this is what the book says, or this is what the card means, but deep in your heart, it just feels hollow, that's no good. You want to feel it. You want your client to go, that makes sense. But mostly, you want to feel it. You want to know that this is just right. And that's why the key element is, or two key elements, ask the right question. And then the key element I was going to mention was shuffle until you get that sensation that card's just right. If it takes 30 seconds, that's a miracle. Usually it takes at least about a minute. Could take up to 5-6 minutes. And that's constant shuffling. Sometimes you have to put it down and pick up a different deck. But what I'm concerned about is accuracy and detail work. No superstition, no fluff, no bad readings. So, or at least as few as possible. I mean, 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000. That, you know, other than that, we want to be spot on in as much as is humanly possible. And gauging on the results that we've seen, it seems like it's, I'm not offering any guarantees, but we're not going to be down. We're hitting grand slams here. So that you can hit grand slams. Shovel, question, wait for the date. You know, ding. Ooh, that's it. And in this case, Becky, we're going to do a this versus that spread. There's variations of this. We can throw one card for this, one card for that. We can do a three-card spread on what happens if you do this and what happens if you do that. But what we're going to do is we're going to decide while we're shuffling which specific spread we're going to use based on a comparison formula. Does that make sense, Becky?
Yeah.
Now, what I'd like to do is the spread that I teach in the book, where we go one card and one card, or we use a significator, one card and one card, and we do three cards on each option. In your particular question, I prefer to pull one card over here for the job, one card pull it here over there for the mysterious alternative, and see what that says. Because if I'm on, one card will give me some good information. It may not tell me everything I need to know, but I will know if that one card is right on the money. All the card has to do is stimulate my awareness, my intelligence, my intuition. It needs to flood my mind with information. If I'm sitting there trying to make up meanings, then I haven't done my job right, or it's the wrong card. But somehow we've had a communications breakdown. Once that first card makes sense, I will continue to shuffle, and I will focus back on that card. And I will say, one card on each side. But they both make sense. I go back to the first option, and I shuffle and I shuffle. And what I'm doing is a second three-card reading, which is part of this entire spread. And I pull three cards based on that card, based on the question. Okay, so she's staying. And give me a random card, Becky, please. Just shout out any random tarot card.
Three of Wands.
Okay, Three of Wands. So, should she stay? What happens if she stays? I'm envisioning that she's staying here. And in a this or that spread, one of the greatest ways to get results is put yourself into the question. Okay, I'm envisioning Becky is staying here in this 15-year job that I don't know anything about. But she's staying here, and what's the end game? What happens out of this? And we got Three of Wands. Well, I can say, now again, I don't have any intuitive guidance at this moment because I'm making this up out of whole cloth. I'm not answering a specific reading, but I'm giving an example of it. Therefore, instead of relying on intuition for this example, obviously I'm relying on intellect. And I state that because I want it very clear that when I say, it could be either the image, always just sitting there waiting, or I could look deep into the image and say, oh, this guy's a foreman, and he's got things that are working, the ships are kind of going out to see, he's just watching them, he's supervising them. So that could be one of two meanings. If I were doing an actual reading, my intuition would guide me to the correct or most appropriate meaning of that card. But for right now, because it's practice, I'm just going to pick out and say, okay, you stay there, and it's going to be a lot of waiting, and it's not the Four of Cups, like, oh, I'm not happy. It's not the Five of Cups, oh, I wish I would have done something else. It just seems like this job will keep your attention. Here I'm going with the Three of Wands. It'll keep your attention, it'll keep you focused, but it's just like you're always waiting for your ship to come in. And they're going out. They're not coming in. They're going out, if you look at the artwork. So now that's when I go, ah, okay, so. And I verify this with Becky as much as I can, because you can verify the past and the present, but not the future. But it sounds good to her. It makes sense to her. I say, okay, let me get more detail. So I go back to the question at hand. And then I incorporate this card and say, okay, based on this information, her current job, the things she's been in, well, we're getting the Three of Wands. And so I literally hold the cards in my hands and I tell the cards as if, again, they were an entity. I would say, okay, I get it, Three of Wands. Tell me, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Give me an in-depth scenario. Is she going to get a raise? Is this, is she actually working on things? Is it just like, one day after another? And between that card and the next three cards that come out, that'll flesh out a nice solid image of how it's going to go. Again, it's an overview. Sometimes we want overviews. How is the movie? Well, all these things happen. I didn't ask you that. How is the movie? Should I go watch it? Oh, it was a good movie. Okay, that's an overview. It was a good movie. You should go see it. Okay. Here's what's going to happen. In the end, for all the ups and downs, you're going to feel like you spent all those years waiting for something that never came in. So that would be that scenario. Now I go over to the other card, which I've read. I haven't mentioned it, but I've but to get to this point, I've read that one card on the option alternative option, and I pulled the three cards in the same way I just did here. Now I've done two completely different spreads. You take fork on the road, left fork on the road, right fork on the road. Now I can sit back, take a deep breath, and compare both forks. So what I've done is I've found out what she wanted to know. I've tailored my question to the cards to answer what she wants to know, even if my question or the way I phrase it is slightly different from what she would say. The important thing is I'm going after the information she wants, whether she's phrased it in a way that I like or not, whether I can ask that question exactly as she said. I'm the one asking the question. I'm asking for her. She's coming to me, the oracle or whatever. So, situation, question, shuffle that into the cards, wait for the ling, and then I throw out the cards after choosing what spread to use. Please, if you're listening at home, if you're still listening, please don't ever come up with a question, shuffle the cards, and then you're holding your cards, you're about ready to deal them out and go, I think I'll do a Celtic cross, or I think I'll do an aces up spread, or I think I'll do the vampire spread, or the mini Celtic cross, and you know, the 7-day. Part of the whole equation is kind of a compact, a legal agreement that you're entering into with nature, where you're saying, I'm going to ask a question, and here is the method I'm going to use. I'm going to ask this question, and I'm going to cast this spread. You, Mr. Universe, or God, are going to, if you prefer the monotheistic thing, are going to give me cards in appropriate places, your choice, whatever cards, but with those cards, whatever cards come up, they need to speak to me. They need to make it easier for me to understand. So by the simple act of knowing what spread you're going to cast while you're shuffling the question into the cards, that gets you far more accurate results and far easier to understand readings than, you know, okay, I'm just going to throw some cards out and see what happens. That's a recipe for disaster. So I'm adamant about the importance of the question and using them and getting your spread to match the question. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Becky, does this make sense? Is it helping at all?
Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense. And also how you've answered the question I was asking, but you've changed it so that you can give a more accurate reading.
That makes perfect sense. No, I'm so glad you liked it. I'm so glad you brought that up. The tarot is horrible at answering yes-no questions. And most people don't want yes-no questions. You'll get occasionally somebody just walks in there, just want a yes or no. When someone walks in with a yes or no question, and if you give them a yes or a no, I guarantee you, they'll go, and then, I paid $50 for this, I feel cheated. You know, what number should I play in the lottery? 7. Well, that was quick. How do you know? I mean, there's a certain expectation, and this is why a lot of people put on the big show. Ooh, I have to do this. We want to put on a big show. We want to give them big information. We want to give them the core answer. And then the tarot cards have images on them, which allow us to pull more information out. And as Becky said, she may not have come in with the exact phraseology. You know, she may not have said it exactly how I wanted it. But that's okay, because I'm the oracle. Not in some kind of egotistical way. Oh, I'm the grand enlightened Swami Zulu master, whatever I used to go by back in 1994. It's kind of a joke thing. But in the sense that this is my job. I don't go in and tell my mechanic what to do and how to do it. And I don't go in and do the work for him. But I will tell my mechanic what's wrong with my car, and I won't do it for the doctor either. Becky, if you were my doctor or my mechanic, I wouldn't walk in and go, hey, here it is. Here's the keys. What's wrong with it, doc? Huh? You're so damn smart, Mrs. Harvard University, or if you prefer, Mrs. Oxford and Yale. You know, you get the big fancy degrees. Why don't you tell me what's wrong with my car and my breathing? You would have to ask me questions. Well, why are you here? Well, what symptoms are you explaining? You know, what's wrong? I was like, well, you should tell me. I hope you never hear that from people. Well, you're psychic, you should know. But you probably will. And I've heard it so many times. And then my students go, I just had somebody go tell me, you're the psychic, you're supposed to know. I just bury my head in my hands because it's so much better than violence. It's just like, okay, yeah, whatever. So some people will do that. But Becky, because you are my private student and I want you to be the best reader in the world, I'm giving you all kinds of stuff, every little inch of detail, including the public lessons, of course. But never be afraid to ask for enough information. Remember, it's a teamwork thing. They supply the basic information. I want to know about this. Is my boyfriend cheating on me? What should I get my girlfriend that's not going to make her angry? How do I get my boss to give me a raise? How do I get custody of my kids? How do I pick stocks that, you know, can win? And, of course, you know, health, legal matters, financial matters, always be very, very careful unless you're a certified professional. Don't get yourself in trouble giving out legal, medical, or financial advice or anything like that. Disclaim everything away. And make sure that you're being ethical. Well, you know, I hope that you'll be ethical. I can't tell you to be ethical. But I'm just saying it is. Becky, is this making sense? I'm just going on really quickly.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, because I want to cram in as much actual information as possible so it gets a little freeform. Plus, I hate sticking to some kind of script. I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this. Okay. So, back to where we're at. We've covered the basics, question, answer, all that stuff, and appropriate spread. I recommend a handful of spreads. 3, 4, 5 spreads that you use all the time. You might want to know a dozen at the most. There's a great book I actually like called Power Tarot, but it's like more than 100 spreads. You know, ooh. I don't want you to open that book and just start doing spread. Okay, can you get back your reading? Okay, hold on. I'm turning page 97. And it says, put this card here. Put this card. Okay, Becky. Apparently, card position 1. Card 1 says, we don't want to do that. You want to know your spread inside and out. It's no different than a lover. You really, really want to know your lover because it just makes your job so much easier. If it's a new person every night, I don't care how much of a Casanova you think you are. People are different. You have no idea this. My daddy is a spank beater. Oh, I thought you liked being spanked. You can't find out everything that a person likes in the first 5 minutes. Same thing with the spread. There is so much intricate knowledge and layers of meaning just in that damn boring Celtic cross spread that everybody hates so much. My students can make it sing and dance. And we can do the same thing with other little spreads. So I want you to have a few workhorse spreads that you know inside out, backwards, forwards, because I don't want you thinking about the spread. I want the spread to be second nature and the cards to speak to you so you're not consciously going, this card means this. I've been down in this position. And X plus Y equals Z. Any computer can do that. It's not going to make you a good reader. What's going to make you a good reader is you go, all right, Becky, I got the 6 coins coming up and the alternative. It looks like you're going to have an opportunity to do something new. You have to stretch for it, and it's going to be an opportunity that they may be wanting something from you. It's like, well, we're going to give you this opportunity, but you never know. I will do you a favor, and someday I may ask you for a favor. And that day may never come, but, you know. So I would say it looks, I'm just making up stuff about the 6 coins going on. I'd say it looks good, but, you know, go in with your eyes open before that money hits your hand. So that would be an example. What else? We didn't have time to go through the basics of pre-spread work. I'd like to do that, Becky, if you don't mind. You know, get on my butt and remind me Monday, Tuesday, not next Thursday, but Friday. Those are my days when I can sit down and do a podcast. If you'd like, we can go over the basics of pre-spread work for everybody. Pre-spread work is stuff you do before the spread, much like we were talking about, shuffling questions and everything. But I really wanted to spend one episode really talk about that. This is all in Advanced Tarot Secrets. Many of you are getting a free review copy. I don't ask for good reviews. Five-star review, man. I just want an honest review. I mean, I worked my ass off on it, and I hope that you like it. And I hope you give it 5 stars. But, you know, of course, I can hope for a lot of things. But just be honest, you know, and hopefully it'll help. So if some of this stuff is a little confusing, or you missed it, you know, you don't want to listen to this again, but you want to get a copy of Advanced Tarot Secrets and see if it's all that, or you're getting a review copy, all of this will be in there if it's not already in The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever, because some of that I've covered here. So the books are The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever. It's available on Amazon. It's $1 per trump, $22, although Amazon probably sells it cheaper because they always discount stuff. The Advanced Tarot Secrets book, I'm pretty sure it'll be a dollar a trump. That'd be $22. It covers what the pros read, how the pros read. It's not a bunch of hocus pocus superstitious stuff. And if you go on Amazon, you can actually do the look inside and you can read a lot of these books for free. If you're flat broke, I'd do that. I mean, I want you to learn. That's why I put out all these podcasts. Go to YouTube, look up Dusty White. Well, type in Dusty White Tarot or Dusty White Astrology, or go to Pinterest and type in Dusty White Astrology Tarot. You'll find my videos. And I've made a whole bunch of astrology and tarot videos. These are free. And my goal is to help you learn. So I would like it if you buy the books. I would like it if you took private lessons or group lessons from me. I do have a tarot class coming up. I probably won't start it until first week of July, maybe second week. It's a mastery course on tarot. We will go from absolute beginning. You don't need to know anything, although it would be nice if you had the book. It makes it a lot easier. The easiest way to learn tarot, if you had that book, it'd be easier. Anybody who takes that book will get the Advanced Tarot Secrets book for free. But the main thing is learn, study, practice, and do this well. Get results. Go out and make a lot of money doing this. Or go out and solve your own problems in life, because the tarot cards are great for that. Just keep tuning in. Just keep learning. If you spend money, you spend money. If you don't, that's fine. The important thing is that this is about you learning. So that's enough ranting there. Becky, any questions, any thoughts, anything I can do to make this easier, better for you in 2 or 3 minutes or less?
No, because I think you've covered it, because by explaining me being a fictitious client coming in with one thing, I could see how by rephrasing the question, you're then able to get more out of the cards and build the picture up. And almost it's like I did really know what I wanted. I just wasn't asking the right way. So you've almost flipped it round, and then you can give a more accurate reading.
Yes, thank you. And again, if you didn't feel you got enough examples, take a course, watch a video, or listen to this again. But what we did is I went painstakingly step by step through and then repeated over and over what the process is. But the idea of listening to this is that you should be able to extrapolate, go, okay, I can use this same basic process for a Celtic cross, for a roundabout, for a aces up, for a yes or no questions. And this is also how you get people away from the, oh, just tell me anything. Blind readings are a curse. You can do blind readings all day long. That's fine. But when you have real clients that pay you real money, I promise you, the people who pay the biggest money, they know exactly what they want to know, right? I want to know what's happening here. Am I going to win this lawsuit? What's that crazy woman going to do? If you expect to make any money with this, the people that are going to pay you demand answers. They're not just like, well, I've never done this before. It's nice to have some fun with it. Sure. But they want to have fun. you want to do your job, because nothing kills their fun than like, well, it was kind of dumb. You want them to walk out going, wow, it's amazing. And they said this and this and this and this and this. So bear with me in my ranty ways. And please, tell a friend about the podcast. I'd appreciate it if you liked us on Facebook or subscribed on iTunes. All of this is free. But that's how I know that you guys want. And if you have any questions, email me at dustywhite.net. Say, hey, I want to know how to do this. Thank you, Becky, for sitting around and letting me rant. I will see you on Sunday for class.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Becky.
Thanks, Dusty. Bye.